Picture this scenario for a second. You are standing in your kitchen,
Okay.
and there is a pile of unopened mail on the counter that, you have been actively ignoring for days.
Oh, I know that exact pile.
Right. Suddenly, your phone rings. It is a number you do not recognize, but it has a familiar area code. It is the local hospital.
Yeah, and your heart just stops.
Exactly. The voice on the other end belongs to a doctor or a nurse practitioner, and they're using completely clinical phrases like medically stable and progressing well.
Which sound like good things.
They do, but then they drop the bomb. They tell you they're planning for discharge tomorrow.
Wow. That is the exact moment your stomach completely drops out from under you.
It really
You
is.
go from feeling, this immense relief that they survived the crisis to absolute terror about what comes next.
Because panic sets in immediately. I mean, you were just there visiting yesterday. Your mom or your dad is still incredibly weak.
Right, they are probably still confused.
Exactly. They can barely sit up in the hospital bed without two nurses helping them. So the idea of them walking through their own front door tomorrow, let alone trying to manage their own complicated medications or stand at a stove to make a meal, it just feels utterly impossible.
Because it is impossible.
Right. You look at that pile of mail on your counter, you look at your own busy life and your job, and you know they are not ready. And you are definitely not ready.
It is a totally jarring transition. The medical system has decided the acute crisis is over. But for the family on the receiving end of that phone call, the logistical crisis is truly just beginning.
And that is why we are here. Welcome to our deep dive. We are editors from California Care Compass.
And our mission today is to be your guide through this exact terrifying scenario.
We are framing this as two editors talking through what to do when your parent is leaving the hospital. We want to provide a warm, calm, and direct roadmap for navigating the next 48 hours.
If you are a California family who has never had to navigate this incredibly complex system before, we are going to decode the hospital discharge process together.
Right, so you can ensure a safe transition for your parent. Okay, let's unpack this. I always assumed that when a hospital says it is time to go, that decision comes straight from the doctor who just thinks the patient is cured.
A lot of people think that.
But there is a whole bureaucratic machine running behind the scenes,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. It is crucial to reframe how we think about this moment. Hospital discharge is not just about a friendly nurse wheeling your parent out to the curb.
And just like helping them buckle into your car.
Right, that is just a physical exit. A discharge plan is actually a highly formalized, legally required process.
Okay.
It is designed to ensure a patient transitions from one level of care to the next safely. And the oversight for this is massive.
Who is overseeing it?
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services oversees this entire process at the federal level.
I would guess that federal oversight exists because hospitals have a financial incentive to clear beds quickly. Like, they need the space.
Well, that is a big part of it for sure. But the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services also knows that a poorly managed, rushed discharge almost always leads to a quick readmission.
Oh, meaning they end up right back in the
Oh,
hospital.
exactly. If a patient is sent home without support, they fall, or they mix up their pills, and they end up right back in the emergency room 3 days later.
Which is terrible for the patient.
Terrible for the patient's health. And it is a massive tax on the healthcare system as a whole. Hospitals actually face steep federal penalties if too many of their patients are readmitted within 30 days.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. So the ultimate goal of a proper discharge plan is to create a comprehensive roadmap for recovery to prevent that exact bounce back.
So I assume the attending doctor is the one writing this master roadmap.
Not quite.
But given how fragmented hospitals are with all these specialists coming in and out, I am guessing that is not actually the case.
Yeah, you are right. The doctors provide the medical clearance, but the actual logistics fall to the discharge planner.
And who is that usually?
This person is usually a hospital social worker or a nurse case manager. Think of them as the official coordinator of this entire production.
Okay, that makes sense.
They are the ones juggling the doctors, the insurance companies, the medical equipment providers, and of course, your family.
Right.
But here is the crucial shift in mindset that you, the listener, need to make today. The discharge planner is the coordinator, but you are the advocate.
I love that.
And more importantly, you are the true expert on your parent.
I really love that distinction. It reminds me of a movie set.
Oh, now so.
Well, when your parent is in the hospital, they are basically acting on a soundstage. It is this highly controlled, entirely artificial environment.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. Like, the lighting is perfect. The staff is constantly monitoring everything. The bed adjusts with the push of a single button.
Yeah, it is not reality.
Exactly. The hospital staff only sees your parent on that artificial set for a few days, but you know the behind-the-scenes reality.
You know the layout of their actual home.
Yes. You know about the tricky stairs leading up to the front door. The narrow bathroom frame that a walker cannot fit through. You know their true physical capabilities and their deeply hidden fears.
You are the only person who could bring that ground truth to the planning table. The hospital staff only sees the snapshot.
While you see the entire movie.
Exactly. And the law is actually on your side here. Hospitals are mandated by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to include family caregivers in the creation of the discharge plan.
So you really are part of the team.
Yes. You just have to know how to practically get a seat at that table.
Okay. So what is the first step?
First, do not rely on the main hospital switchboard.
Oh, yeah. That is a nightmare.
You will just get transferred to the wrong floor and leave voicemails in the abyss. You need to get the direct extension of the discharge planner assigned to your parent.
Right.
Find out their exact working hours and the best time to reach them.
It is about cutting through the red tape immediately so you are talking to the decision maker.
Then you request a care conference with the planner and a staff nurse, even if it is just for 15 minutes.
Okay, let me push back on this just a little bit, though.
Sure.
For a lot of people, challenging a doctor or a nurse feels intimidating. I mean, we are conditioned to defer to white coats.
We absolutely are.
Does it come across as overly confrontational or, you know, demanding to insist on a meeting and question their entire medical plan?
It is a totally valid fear. We are taught not to question doctors. But this is not about confrontation at all.
Okay, how should we approach it?
It is entirely about your communication style. The trick is to use I statements.
Like saying what, exactly?
Well, instead of storming up to the nurse's station and shouting that they are wrong and cannot send your dad home.
Which immediately puts everyone on the defensive.
Right. You frame it around your observations. You say, I am concerned about my dad's safety at home.
Oh, I see.
You mentioned that you observed him acting very unsteady yesterday afternoon, and you are worried about his ability to access his second floor bathroom safely.
So you are not accusing them, you are just sharing data.
Exactly. You are simply presenting data from the true expert on his baseline, which is you. And always, always bring a physical notebook to this meeting.
Yes, the notebook.
Write down every single name, every date, and every promise they make.
A notebook is basically an external hard drive for your brain when you are running on no sleep, bad cafeteria coffee, and pure adrenaline.
You will forget things otherwise.
You absolutely will. But let us look at the worst case scenario. You have the care conference, you use your I statements, you share your very real concerns about the stairs, and the hospital still insists on discharging your parent tomorrow because they need the bed. Can you legally just say no?
What's fascinating here is that the answer is an absolute, emphatic yes.
Wait, really? You can just say no?
Yes. You have immense legal power in this specific moment. Voicing your concern is not just complaining to management.
Okay.
You're actually exercising a federally protected legal right to appeal the hospital's medical decision.
This shifts the entire power dynamic. You aren't just a concerned child anymore. You are a legal participant in the process.
Exactly.
Walk us through how this appeal actually works on a practical level.
Okay, so if your parent is covered by Medicare, the process is very structured.
Okay.
When they were admitted, usually within the first 2 days, they should have received a specific document. It is called the Important Message from Medicare.
The Important Message from Medicare.
Yes. It almost always gets buried under a mountain of admission paperwork and privacy notices. So you have to physically dig for it.
And if I cannot find it?
If you cannot find it, you politely but firmly demand a new copy from the discharge planner immediately.
Okay, got it.
That piece of paper contains the contact information for California's Beneficiary and Family-Centered Care Quality Improvement Organization.
That is a very long name.
It is. But in California, that organization goes by the name Levanta.
Levanta. Okay, so you locate the form and you find the phone number for Levanta. Do you just call them and say you disagree?
You call them and state very clearly that you want to file an appeal regarding the hospital's discharge decision.
And this highlights a massive aha moment for me. Calling Levanta literally stops the clock.
It triggers what is called an immediate stay.
The hospital cannot legally discharge your parent while that appeal is happening.
They cannot.
And even better, they cannot charge you out of pocket for the extra days your parent is sitting in that hospital bed while the review takes place.
It is a complete pause button on the chaos of the hospital pushing you out the door.
It is an incredibly powerful mechanism.
It really is. Once you call, Levanta's independent doctors take over the case. They are entirely separate from the hospital.
So they are neutral?
Yes. They review the medical records, they interview the attending hospital staff, and they will speak directly with you over the phone.
Oh, so you get to present your case.
You do. You explain the unsteadiness, the confusion, the lack of support at home, and, you know, those dangerous stares.
Right. And then what happens?
Levanta will then make an independent medical decision, usually within 24 to 48 hours.
So it is a fast process. What is the actual outcome? Like, what happens if you win the appeal versus if you lose?
Well, if Levanta agrees with you, Medicare continues to pay for the hospital stay.
Okay.
The hospital is then forced to scrap their original idea and develop a brand new, safer discharge plan that addresses your concerns.
That is amazing.
But here is the secret strategy of time. Even if Levanta reviews the file, sides of the hospital, and you lose the appeal.
Which happens, I am sure.
It does. But you have still won something incredibly valuable. You bought yourself an extra day or two. You forced a pause in the machine.
Oh, I see.
It gives you time to organize family support, move a bed down to the first floor at home, or arrange safe transportation.
That extra 48 hours can literally be the difference between a disaster and a manageable transition.
Absolutely.
Now, what if your parent is on Medi-Cal instead of Medicare? Does this entire pause button still exist?
The underlying principle of your right to appeal is exactly the same, but the bureaucratic mechanism is slightly different.
How so?
Medical patients will receive a document from the hospital called a notice of action.
Notice of action, okay.
This specific notice details the discharge decision and explains your right to request a state hearing.
Who handles that?
This state hearing process is overseen by the California Department of Healthcare Services.
Got it.
Your hospital social worker is the key resource here. You must lean on them and insist they help you initiate this specific appeal process immediately before discharge occurs.
So if Levanta agrees with you, or you win your state hearing, and everyone finally agrees that going straight home to the house with the tricky stairs is a terrible idea.
Right.
The hospital now has a massive problem. They cannot keep your parent forever, but they cannot send them home. This forces a transition to an intermediate step.
Yes, it does.
Where exactly do they go?
The most common stepping stone in this scenario is a skilled nursing facility, frequently referred to in the medical world as a SANEF.
When people hear the term nursing facility, they usually picture a permanent nursing home where people go to live out the rest of their lives.
That is a very common misconception.
It is not that.
No. In this specific context of a hospital discharge, a skilled nursing facility is strictly for short-term rehabilitation.
Okay.
Your parent might go there for a week or two. The focus is intensive physical therapy, occupational therapy, or speech therapy.
So it is really about getting stronger.
The entire goal is to build up their strength, help them relearn basic mobility, and get them to a baseline where they can safely return home.
And who pays for this?
Crucially, if your parent had a formal hospital admission that lasted for at least 3 consecutive nights, Medicare typically covers this rehabilitation stay.
That 3-night rule is such an important mechanism to remember because observation stays do not count.
They do not, no.
But what if they do not need that intense level of daily facility care, but they still need real medical help to survive at home?
Then you are looking at transitioning home with home health care. It's an incredible resource.
How does that work?
If your parent meets the specific medical criteria of being homebound.
Which means what exactly?
Meaning it requires a taxing effort to leave the house. If they meet that, a team of skilled professionals will literally come to their door.
Oh, wow.
You could have a registered nurse visiting a few times a week to check vitals, manage wound care, and organize complex medication schedules.
That is a huge relief for a family.
It is. Physical and occupational therapists can come into the house to help your parents safely navigate their actual living environment.
Which is so much better than the hospital.
They help them relearn how to step over the lip of their own shower, which is far more practical than practicing on stairs in a pristine hospital gym.
Here's where it gets really interesting. When it comes to choosing which skilled nursing facility or which home health agency to use, the discharge planner is heavily regulated by federal law.
They are. very strictly.
They have to provide you with a list of local facilities or agencies that accept your insurance, but they absolutely cannot steer you toward a specific company.
Right. It is an anti-kickback protection mechanism. They cannot favor a company they own or have a special financial relationship with.
Which makes sense.
They can give you public quality data, but they cannot legally make the choice for you.
Which means the burden of choice falls entirely on the family. You, the listener, must take charge in that incredibly stressful moment.
You have to.
You have to pull out your phone, search for online reviews, call the facilities to ask about staffing ratios, and, you know, text your neighbors to see if they have any personal experiences with these agencies.
It is a massive amount of research dumped on your plate in a short amount of time.
It absolutely is.
This is exactly why having that notebook and staying organized is so critical. And for families utilizing Medi-Cal, the social workers should also be planting seeds for the future during this window.
What kind of seeds?
While they might not be immediate discharge destinations, there are long-term programs overseen by the California Department of Aging and the California Department of Healthcare Services.
Like what?
Things like the assisted living waiver or community-based adult services are long-term options. The social worker can introduce you to these applications now.
Oh, helping set up stability for the months ahead so you are not flying blind later.
Exactly.
Okay, let us fast forward to the actual day of discharge. I want to paint the picture of this day because it is always chaotic.
Always.
There are plastic hospital bags full of belongings on the bed. You are desperately trying to find your parents' shoes.
Which somehow always go missing.
Always. The staff is bustling around, wiping down monitors, clearly trying to prep the room for the next patient waiting in the emergency room.
Yeah.
You feel this immense unspoken pressure to just pack up and get out of their way, but you have to actively fight that urge.
You really do.
You must pause and go through a final, rigorous checklist before you let them wheel your parent out the door.
That pause is vital. Do not let the operational rush of the hospital dictate your pace.
What is the first thing on the list?
The very first thing on your final checklist must be medication reconciliation.
That sounds like an accounting term. Why do they call it reconciliation, and what does it actually look like in the hospital room?
They call it reconciliation because you are literally balancing the ledger of what they took before they arrived versus what the hospital wants them to take now.
Oh, I see.
Hospital doctors constantly tweak medications. Oh. They start new ones, they stop old ones, they change the dosages.
Right.
Often a hospital doctor prescribes a generic version while the doctor at home prescribed a brand name.
And that can be dangerous.
If you do not reconcile this, the patient goes home, takes both, and overdoses. You need to sit down with a discharging nurse and go line by line through the printed medication list.
What should we be asking?
You ask three distinct questions for every single pill. First, what exactly is this medication for?
Okay.
Second, what are the specific side effects I need to watch out for today? And third, is this a brand new prescription or is it a refill of something they were already taking?
We have to talk about a program that makes this part so much easier. It is basically the equivalent of premium room service for healthcare. It is called the Meds to Beds program.
It is amazing.
If the hospital offers this, you must demand to use it. The hospital's internal pharmacy will fill all of the new prescriptions and deliver them directly to your parents' hospital bed before you leave the building.
It completely eliminates the dreadful, exhausting prospect of having to drag a frail, tired parent into a brightly lit retail pharmacy.
Just waiting in line for an hour on the drive home.
It is a game changer for preserving everyone's energy on transition day.
Absolutely.
Once the medications are secured in your bag, you move to the logistics check. Do not accept vague promises about the future.
Meaning what?
If they say your parent needs a follow-up appointment with a cardiologist, ask if it is actually booked in the system.
Yeah.
The doctor's name, the date, and the specific time.
Get the details.
If they need durable medical equipment like a hospital bed or a walker, confirm that the order has actually been processed and ask for the delivery company's phone number. And perhaps most importantly, do not leave without a direct contact line. You need a dedicated 24 to 48 hour nurse contact number.
Or at least the direct extension for the charge nurse on that specific floor.
Yes. The main hospital switchboard will be completely useless to you if your parent spikes a fever at 2 in the morning.
It is about building a safety net while you still have access to the experts. Now, we touched on Medi-Cal earlier.
We did.
I want to dive deeper into the California-specific long-term lifelines available because the mechanisms here are a huge relief for families.
This is crucial for California families to understand. Medicare is designed almost entirely for short-term acute recovery.
Eh.
Medi-Cal is the primary engine for long-term ongoing support. The crown jewel of this support system is in-home supportive services.
Which agency handles that?
This program is overseen by the California Department of Social Services, and it is a total lifeline. It pays for a provider to come into the home and help with non-medical tasks.
What kind of tasks?
We are talking about the heavy lifting of daily life. Help with bathing, dressing, doing laundry, and cooking meals.
The day-to-day grind.
It is the exact type of daily grinding support that prevents someone from deteriorating and ending up in a nursing home long term.
But the friction here is always the bureaucracy. It takes months to get approved. You do not want to wait until you are struggling at home to ask about this.
That is the secret. The hospital social worker must start the in-home supportive services application process before your parent is discharged.
Why is that?
Getting into that system requires assessments and paperwork. If the social worker initiates it from the hospital, they use the hospital's bureaucratic weight to push the paperwork through faster.
Oh, that makes sense.
You can save weeks of waiting and struggling at home without help.
There is another layer to this now in California, something called CalAIM. What is the logic behind this program?
Well, the state finally realized that paying for small, practical interventions is drastically cheaper for the system than paying for a massive emergency room visit when a patient inevitably falls trying to make dinner.
Makes perfect financial sense.
The California Department of Healthcare Services oversees this massive initiative called California Advancing and Innovating Medi-Cal, or CalAIM for short.
And what does it actually do?
Through CalAIM, managed care health plans are offering incredibly practical services to keep people safe at home. Depending on the plan, this can unlock funding for home modifications.
Like installing grab bars or building wheelchair ramps?
Exactly. It can provide medically tailored meals delivered straight to the door so your parent does not have to cook.
Wow.
It even offers personal care coordinators to help you navigate the broader system.
And the social worker helps with this.
The hospital social worker is the gatekeeper to unlocking these CalAIM benefits, so you have to ask about them directly.
We have covered an immense amount of ground today.
We really have.
The California Care Compass editorial take on all of this really boils down to understanding the nature of the beast you are dealing with. The hospital system is a machine built for efficiency and speed.
It has to be to function.
But your job as a family caregiver is to be the friction in that machine when necessary. Your job is to constantly look at the plan and ask, is this fast or is this safe?
You have to trust your gut. If something feels rushed, it is rushed. Use your voice.
Yes.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you really have to remember that questioning the staff does not make you a difficult person or problem.
Right.
Hospital staffs are severely overworked. They are managing dozens of patients with complex needs. They actually rely on your organized, calm persistence.
You are helping them?
When you speak up about the stairs or the medication confusion, you are providing the vital missing pieces of the puzzle that they desperately need to do their job safely and effectively. You are catching the blind spots they cannot see.
Because you are a vital, legally recognized part of the care team. So, to wrap this up, we want to leave you with our editorial checklist. What to do this week if you get that terrifying phone call?
Number one, find your person. Get the discharge planner's direct phone number and extension immediately. Skip the switchboard.
Number two, request a family care conference. Bring your data and get everyone on the same page.
Number three, locate that important message from Medicare form. And save Levanta's phone number in your contacts right now so you have the pause button ready.
Number four, start a dedicated notebook. It will act as your brain when you are overwhelmed by the stress and the medical jargon.
And number five, visit our website. Look for the 48-hour hospital discharge playbook. It is full of specific scripts you can read to the nurses and checklists you can use to track medications.
So what does this all mean?
It means that while the hospital discharge feels like the exhausted finish line of a terrible marathon, it is actually just the starting gun for a completely different race.
Leaving the hospital is the very beginning of the journey. Before we go, chew on this thought. Our modern medical system is an absolute marvel at saving a life in a crisis.
It truly is.
They can pull someone back from the brink with incredible technology. But once that life is saved and the acute crisis is over, the system immediately washes its hands of helping that life actually be lived day to day.
Yeah.
As you navigate these next 48 hours, ask yourself why we have accepted a system where the medical cure is fully covered, but the daily reality of care is dropped entirely on your shoulders.
What is a heavy realization?
I want you to picture this final moment. The discharge is complete. You survived the drive home. You got the medication sorted on the kitchen counter.
You are finally home.
The home health nurse came for their initial visit, checked the vitals, and finally packed up their bag. And then the front door clicks shut. They leave.
And it is quiet.
You are left standing in the silence of your own house. The cameras on the artificial movie set have stopped rolling. And in that quiet, jarring moment, as you look at your parents sitting in their armchair, you suddenly realize that the parent who just came home is fundamentally different from the one who went into the hospital days ago. The reality of their new limitations settles over the room.
It is a profound shift.
Next time on The Deep Dive, we are going to explore exactly what happens next. We'll talk about navigating the reality of dementia coming home. Until then, grab your notebook, find your person, and remember that you are the true expert on your parent.